Jesus, the God of creation, came to us in flesh. He declared by his actions that he is the great I am of old. He declared with his mouth that he truly is equal with the Father. And that got him in a lot of trouble. And he was sentenced to death for blasphemy. So it's no wonder that the Apostle Paul is also in trouble with the Jews, because he confessed that Jesus is Lord, the God of the ages, Messiah, crucified and resurrected. The unregenerated mind cannot comprehend the things of God. The hardened of heart will not believe. The spiritually dead will not receive. And Paul has declared the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, to many who just flat out rejected it. And now we find him in prison, first in Jerusalem and now in Caesarea, the capital of the province of Judea. For 2 years, he's been held captive under these false charges of sedition against the Roman government. The real issue at hand is that Paul believes in a Savior, resurrected, forever to reign, a King of kings and Lord of lords. That's the issue. This glorious news for us that Jesus died for sin, rescuing sinners from its domain and releasing them into his kingdom, is foolishness to the rest of the world. As we read this narrative from history, may we think about this. If we were convicted of anything, you and me, if the law came after us, may it be for our unrelenting faith in Jesus. And when we face Jesus as the righteous judge, may our only response be to him, is all I have is you. Jesus, the one who died and who is alive. Acts chapter 25. It says, now 3 days after Festus had arrived in the province, he went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. And the chief priests and the principal men of the Jews laid out their case against Paul. And they urged him, asking as a favor against Paul that he summon him to Jerusalem, because they were planning an ambush to kill him on the way. Festus replied that Paul was being kept at Caesarea, and that he himself intended to go there shortly. So, said he, let the men of authority among you go down with me. And if there is anything wrong about the man, let them bring charges against him. After he stayed among them not more than 8 or 10 days, he went down to Caesarea. And the next day he took his seat on the tribunal and ordered Paul to be brought. When he had arrived, the Jews had come down from Jerusalem, stood around him, bringing many and serious charges against him that they could not prove. Paul argued in his defense, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I committed any offense. But Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, do you wish to go up to Jerusalem and there be tried on these charges before me? But Paul said, I am standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you yourself know very well. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death. But if there is nothing to their charges against me, no one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with his council, answer, to Caesar you have appealed, to Caesar you shall go. Now when some days had passed, Agrippa the king and Bernice arrived at Caesarea and greeted Festus. And as they had stayed there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, there is a man left prisoner by Felix. And when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews laid out their case against him, asking for a sentence of condemnation against him. I answered them that it was not the custom of the Romans to give up anyone before the accused met the accusers face to face and had opportunity to make his defense concerning the charge laid against him. So when they came together here, I made no delay, but on the next day took my seat on the tribunal and ordered the man to be brought. When the accusers stood up, they brought no charge in his case of such evils as I supposed. Rather, they had certain points of dispute with him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who was dead, but whom Paul asserted to be alive. Being at a loss how to investigate these questions, I asked whether he wanted to go to Jerusalem and be tried there regarding them. But when Paul had appealed to be kept in custody for the decision of the emperor, I ordered him to be held until I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, I would like to hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, you will hear him. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to read your word, to read it publicly for others to hear. God, I am confident that faith comes through the hearing of your word. So I trust that you are doing your work. Father, each of us come in different conditions. Our minds, our hearts, our emotions, our physical bodies. God, I take great comfort knowing you meet us where we are. So, Father, will you teach us? Show us truth. Convince us that Jesus is the Savior of the world, the one who died and rose from the dead. Lord, let me just be a voice. But Father, may each of us have ears. Ears to hear, hearts to receive. Father, this is the work of the Holy Spirit, so we ask you to do this. You have told us that if we seek, we will find. So God, put it on each of our hearts to want to know, to want more, to seek righteousness in your kingdom. For we have your promise that you will give it. Thank you for your word. May we do it honor by speaking and receiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul has been in Caesarea for 2 years, in prison under the governor named Felix. Felix has now been replaced by Festus. He's the new guy in town. We see here that he's a very competent ruler. History shows that. The Bible shows us that. He takes advice from councils and other kings. He listens and he contemplates. Herod Agrippa is also a ruler in the area. Much of Syria is under his control. If you remember, Agrippa's family is all of the Herods. Herod the Great, the one under whom Jesus was born into this world, who killed all of those babies in Bethlehem. His father, Herod Agrippa I, is the one who has killed James the Apostle and attempted to kill Peter. And now we have Agrippa II. These are the two leaders of the area under Rome. Agrippa has a lot of power, even in Jerusalem, though. He was given power by the emperor that he was allowed to go into Jerusalem and choose the Jews' high priest. So the high priest is Roman appointed now. Felix has been waiting for Paul to bribe him. Just give me some money under the table, you can probably be set free. Paul, morally right before God, didn't play those kind of games. He sat in prison. And now he's under Festus. Festus has the position. And it says he immediately goes up to Jerusalem. Caesarea is actually northwest of Jerusalem. But anytime you go to Jerusalem, you're going up. Anytime you leave Jerusalem, you're going down. So you see that in the text. So he went up to Jerusalem. As I said, he was a competent ruler. This was a good move. Much of his dominion was the Jews. So he wanted to go pay a visit to the Jews, meet the high priest, meet those leaders in Jerusalem, get acquainted with them. This is a wise decision on his part. Evaluate the most important city in his province, Jerusalem. He's there 8 or 10 days, it says. I'm sure there was lots of business he discussed, lots of people he visited. But the narration is focused on Paul. So that's the conversations we hear. And one of those days that he was there, he was visiting with the high priests. It's been 2 years. The high priests still want Paul dead. They've held a grudge against this man for preaching against what they say he preached against their temple and their city, their law. So they jump on the opportunity. There's a new governor in town. Maybe he'll do what we want. Felix dragged his feet. He didn't do anything. Maybe Festus will be a little more proactive and he'll listen to us. We know he wants us happy. He's here to keep order in Judea. And to keep order, the Jews need to be happy. So let's go give him our request. We want Paul. Their request, though, is this. Will you bring Paul back to us again? We'd like to have another trial. But that was a lie. They had planned another ambush. Paul would have never made it to a trial. He would have been jumped on the way and killed by those Jewish assassins, those ones who had bound themselves by an oath before. This was their plan once again. They want Paul dead. Festus tells the Jews, if you want to see Paul, if you want him tried, you come to Caesarea. You come to me. This happens all the time to Paul, it seems. In Corinth, if you remember, Gallio was the new proconsul of the province of Achaia, and they went to him and said, hey, new guy in town, we want your ear. This Paul, we don't like this Paul. He's preaching against our God, and he's against our temple and against our law. Will you put him to death? And Gallio threw out that case. But here we are again. They want Paul dead. So Festus comes back to Caesarea, and when he gets there, the Jews are there. Whether they traveled with him or not, it's not said. They could have went before him. So the Jews are ready to press charges against the apostle. So he takes his seat upon the judgment seat. All right, it's called the Bema seat. Right, he is the judge of the whole province, and he hears them out. And it says they lay out serious charges against Paul, which we assume are the same that they laid out 2 years before. The same charges. He's the ringleader, they said, of this sect called the Nazarenes. He incites violence and mobs and tries to desecrate the temple. But Luke adds here, and I love it. They this is verse 7, bring in many and serious charges against him that they could not prove. They're bringing charges against him that they can't even prove. There was no eyewitnesses to this. They contradicted one another. If they had these eyewitnesses, sounds like a lot like Jesus, doesn't it, when he was on trial? Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. I love that because you know those false witnesses were probably brought aside and told what to say. All right, they were briefed. before the trial. And yet when it came into the trial, God mixed up their stories and they couldn't even get their stories straight. These false witnesses said that Jesus was going to desecrate the temple by tearing it down. That's what they would go on to say. He is here to desecrate our temple. Interesting. Paul, Christ's body, is now being slandered in the same way. Even Festus, we read here, he's confused by their charges. When he's talking to Herod, he's like, they came in and they brought charges against Paul, not the ones I expected, not the ones that I had supposed they would say. The Jews had failed again. And Paul stands in his own defense once again alone, just him and Jesus standing there before the governor. And he says in verse 8, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I committed any offense. He says, I have not sinned against the Jews, nor their law. I haven't broken their law. In no way can they prove that I have broken the law of Moses. I have not sinned against the temple. In fact, the day that I was arrested, I was worshiping in the temple. I was bringing offerings. I was fulfilling these men's oaths. And yet they claim that I was breaking the law. In no way, he also says, was I sinning against Rome. There's not one charge that you can lay against me that I have broken against Caesar himself. I have no intention of overthrowing him, usurping his authority. I have kept his laws too. Paul, by his own admission, says, I am innocent before God's and man's laws. Church, this is important. God has not called us to overcome Satan's kingdom with mobs and anarchy. He has called us to overcome Satan's kingdom in a very unique way. Be subject, submit, it says, to the Lord for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as to supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul says this, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders. Be dependent on no one. And there's a lot of verses I could bring out talking about, obviously, our relation to God's law and living in obedience to Jesus Christ. One specifically, because Jesus was, this was a charge brought to him, this was a charge brought to Paul, of profaning the temple of God. This was their attempt. This is the instructions for us today. Flee from sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 6. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. We, church, are called to overcome Satan's kingdom by obeying God, living morally, and submitting to human government. And Paul stands before Festus and says, all these charges have been brought to me. I stand before you as innocent. I have not broken God's laws, and I have not broken man's laws. Though Paul was innocent before the law, he was guilty for sure by his confession of Christ. What Festus got out of this whole trial was this. Listen, this whole deal between the Jews and Paul, it's a religious thing. There's this certain Jesus he keeps talking about. He won't stop talking about. And the Jews say he's dead. Paul says he's alive. That is where the debate is. I don't see any crimes. I don't see anything worthy of punishment. There's just this debate that Paul says, I serve a risen Jesus. I remember this song back from 1996. It's by a group called Big Tent Revival. Listen to their words. I love how they put it. They put, if loving God was a crime, I'd be an outlaw. I would join the fight. They could not shut me down. I would stand tall. What I know is right. Would you stand with me for the world to see when all is on the line? Would you be ashamed of Jesus' name if loving God was a crime? The schoolroom, I hear, teaches choices to kids who cannot pray. And the unborn, I fear, they have no voice in politics today. Would you stand with me for the world to see when all is on the line? Would you be ashamed of Jesus' name if loving God was a crime? Take a look around. What will tomorrow hold? It's time to stand our ground. We must be bold. If loving God was a crime, I'd be an outlaw. I would join the fight. Will you stand with me for the world to see when all is on the line? And Paul stands before Festus and says, the only thing I am guilty of is following and serving my Jesus. The one who died for me. The one who took my place under the wrath of God. The one who has forgiven me of all of the true crimes I really did commit in my life. Crimes against the holy. He is the one that I love, and I will preach him even if it means you put me to death. Festus, well, he's stuck between a rock and a hard place. He doesn't want to let Paul go because he needs the Jews to be a happy people. He wants peace in his province, and letting Paul go is surely going to be a disruption to that. But Paul is a Roman by birth. He's a citizen of Rome, and he has found no charges that stick. He is not due Rome's wrath. And then fortunately for Festus, Agrippa shows up to the door, probably coming to meet the new governor to get acquainted. This could be Festus' answer. He's going to bounce some, hopefully get some advice from this king he knows the Jews really well. This king Agrippa, from all of his family and down to him, has been dealing with the Jews for a long time. He tells Agrippa, I'm not convinced that this man is guilty. I'm just not. I don't see any crimes that he's committed. This just seems like it's a religious dispute. And when I asked if he wanted to go to Jerusalem, Paul said no. Of course Paul doesn't want to go to Jerusalem. It's a dangerous city for him. He barely got out of Jerusalem last time with his life, and he knows the Jews aren't wanting a fair trial. They just want him dead. So he's using his Roman citizenship and says, I appeal to Caesar. And where is Caesar? Well, he's in Rome. For did Jesus tell Paul he was going to send him? He's going to send him to Rome. Paul had a right to do this. He wants to be under Roman law. Because if he's under Roman law, he's going to be found innocent, no doubt. There's no crime. But boy, if he is tried under the Sanhedrin and under Jewish law, that could be some serious problems, serious trouble. The crimes centered around him is this Jesus. Ooh. Excuse me, I'm going too far here. The crimes that Paul was accused were religious. They centered around a certain Jesus, he says, who died and he claimed was alive. So Agrippa says, I want to hear from this man now. I want to hear from Paul. He says, okay, tomorrow you will hear. For you guys, it's next week. You'll have to come back. But listen, if you say, yes, I am a Christian, I call myself a Christian, I take upon myself the name of Jesus, be ready. Be ready to be scrutinized by the world, by your family and your friends and your coworkers. They're going to watch you even closer now. They're going to pay attention to what you say. They're going to pay attention to your attitudes, how you react in conflict. They're going to pay close attention because some of them want to catch you in offense. They want to have something against you so that they can have something against Christ. They want to be able to downplay your faith. They want to be able to mock your God. Not all are this wicked, but there are some. There are. And they're paying close attention to the church. Paul stood with a clear conscience and said, before some of the most powerful men in his day, I am innocent. My question is, could you do that? Our duty to God is to submit to his authority. And to do that, he says, you're to submit to all authority. Because all authority I have placed. It is our duty to obey the Lord through Christ in his commandments, that if any accusation comes our way, we know it's false. We know it's false. Church, we must, through the power of the Holy Spirit, live in a way that the only thing the world can pin on us is they have an unrelenting faith in this Jesus, this certain Jesus who died and they say is alive and is coming again. That's all we've got on them. The Apostle Peter, who would eventually be martyred in Rome, says, beloved church, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of his visitation. I know that there are some in this room, because I've talked with you, who are being badgered by family members because of your faith. They're tired of hearing you talk about Jesus. More than one of you have told me that your family has been waiting for this Christian phase of yours to just end. And when it didn't, they're now just becoming irritated. Stand strong. Stand strong. Don't waver in your faith. Don't withhold the name of Jesus from your lips just because they don't want to hear it. For you are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, like the Apostle Paul, who boldly and unapologetically declared Jesus until his very last breath. And then, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, his bema seat, when he sits down for judgment and we're faced with him, we can continue then to declare our allegiance and submission to his kingship, because we are not ashamed of the gospel. For in it, displays the glory of our God and through it brings his glory to us. So if loving Jesus is a crime, so be it. I'll still stand up here and preach. Are you going to still sit there and receive it? I hope that we can stand together as outlaws. I mean, we're in the Wild West. Might as well. And we will continue to praise and serve our God until he comes again and makes all things new and all things right and takes his throne forever and ever and rewards those who never denied him. Let's pray. Our God, it is a joy to be your church. What a calming in our spirits to just know truth, to finally hear it and believe it. But God, you know even more than we do, there are enemies to have your truth. They're all over the world. They're in government positions. They live in houses next to us. So Father, in this moment, right now, even Lord, will you strengthen us? Will you grant us heavenly power that we may withstand and we may stand strong in your gospel? That the name of Jesus will never cease to come from our lips because we are so proud to be called Christian. We love your name. We know the power in your name. God, continue to mold us and shape us until you glorify us. We stand on your promises, Lord, that you are coming again, so we know it's true. A God who cannot lie has given us this. Lord, may we stand on your promises like Paul, that even if we are not seeing things happen the way we thought they should, we will still trust you. And together as your body, we will hold hands in unity, lifting up the name of our Savior, this certain Christ who is alive. In Jesus' name, amen.